Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Monday morning, health briefs now. The chief medical officer at Northwestern Medicine's Northwest Region of Hospitals, Dr. Irfan Hafiz, with us. Good morning, doctor. Let's start by talking about all those holiday lights and how it may help you feel better. Tell us about this.
Yeah, good morning. You know, as the we have sunset earlier and earlier, you know, it does get dark. You know, lack of sunlight, as we know, does affect a lot of people, and we get a lot of, just the mood tends to change, and some depression starts to set in a little bit, getting those holiday blues and stuff. But adding a little bit of light, definitely does go a long way in helping that. So adding a little bit of bright lights and the holiday lights does go a long way, and it has shown to affect some of that mood there.
So, take a good look at those things. And it's really an exercise in mindfulness in a way, isn't it?
Absolutely, 100%.
Another way to feel good, elevate your mood during this time of family stress, travel delays, financial pressures, is to go for a walk. And we've been talking about this a lot, but all these studies seem to indicate that, walking may help improve depression symptoms. Fill us in on the latest study.
Yeah, we've been talking about this for some time, but this, I think, comes back to solidify that. And really what it's looking at is how much walking do you really need to do in order to get some benefits? But it turns out even as less as 1,000 steps a day, you have some benefits. It tends to rise by the time you get to about 5,000 to 7,000 steps. So trying to get around that 5,000 to 7,000 steps is probably a good idea. If you can get above 7,000, that's even better there. So walking is really good.
I know that this latest story, they reviewed the results of about 30 previous studies, and I found this very interesting, walking may also lower the risk of becoming depressed, right?
It does. It does. It's just that exercise a little bit, and it's not heavy exercise. It's just a mild form of activity. It does go a long way with that mental health as well.
And the idea is really to get away from the concrete and possibly do this in nature, if you can.
Yeah, we certainly. I mean, we talked about this on your program about green spaces and how that's important with that exercise and how that helps, again, with that mindfulness, that wellness overall is really important. So getting out there, enjoying a little bit of nature. Now, granted, in the winter months, it's a little bit harder to do, but, it's something to look forward to as the season comes to an end there.
And have they agreed on kind of a minimum amount of steps that you should try to get done?
Yeah, I think the minimum probably at least is 1,000 steps. I mean, that's probably be the least there. Trying to get to 5,000 would be really good, but trying to get at least that 1,000 steps in is really important.
Vitamin D is something we need in this time of year. You don't get it from the sun, so you have to get it in other ways. And there's a new study about vitamin D and also the risk of falls and fractures. Tell us what we learned from this research.
So this was some recommendations that's coming out from the United States Preventive Services Task Force, and this group does a great job about how to preventive health. So always keep some of the recommendations in mind. But I think specifically here about vitamin D, what's important is that those people who have normal levels they do not have osteoporosis, they're otherwise healthy people, did not benefit from additional vitamin D. I think that part is something we need to clarify with the listeners there. What they didn't see in those groups is they did not see a reduction in falls or preventive bone fractures in those older adults that had did not have osteoporosis. However, those who do have osteoporosis definitely did benefit. So we want to make sure we're not leading people in the wrong direction.
Yeah, it's kind of confusing because vitamin D deficiency and low calcium does increase the risk of bone fractures, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And that's what we want. So if you do have signs of osteoporosis, certainly the vitamin D is very, very, and calcium supplements are very important there.
So in these new recommendations and updates, how much vitamin D do we need to get, and what are the best sources of vitamin D?
Yeah, so normally adults need about, it's measured in international units, about 600 to 800 international units per day, depending on the age. Now, the best source is sunlight. That is the best way to do it. Now, in the northern latitudes like Chicagoland, winter months, it's really hard to get enough. So foods do have quite a bit of vitamin D, like fatty fish, especially like salmon, halibut, tuna, cod liver oil, egg yolks, things like that do tend to have a lot of vitamin D. Milk does have fortified vitamin D added to that. So that may be another source as well. But again, during the summer months, that getting a little bit of sunshine and getting back to that outdoors and walking is really important there.
Better to get the vitamin D from foods than supplements?
So for those in a normal diet and otherwise healthy, the foods should be enough for most people. However, there are people who can't get enough either because of dietary restrictions or other reasons there, and that's when those nutritional supplements become important there. So do check with your doctor with that. There is such a thing as getting too much vitamin D, so do be careful about that.
Is alcohol good for you? People are going to want to hear about this. We'll talk about that study and also why your blood pressure reading may be wrong. That and more coming up momentarily. Back with the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine's Northwest Region of Hospitals, Dr. Irfan Hafiz. Doctor, can't wait to talk to you about this major report that was just released about alcohol. What's in here?
Oh, boy. Yeah, there's a lot to unpack in this one. And we've talked about alcohol consumption in the past on your show. And we've seen that, you know, alcohol consumption moderation may have some health benefits. We've seen that. However, we've also talked about that there is increased risk of cancers with alcohol consumption. So this part of the study, you know, really started to look at, you know, overall and looking at some of the health benefits and the risks there. I think there is some moderate evidence to suggest that, you know, don't consume alcohol for health benefits. However, in moderation, it's probably still okay, especially for men, maybe up to two drinks in a day. Women, maybe up to about one drink in a day.
Now, a second report is coming out in the next few weeks, isn't it?
Yes.
And that will probably add to the confusion about this, won't it?
Probably. I think overall the message really, which we've been consistent with, is keep it in moderation there. Don't add alcohol saying that, oh, there's added benefit of that. No, there really probably isn't. If you're not drinking today, probably don't. But if you are, definitely keep that in moderation.
Yeah, people are going to just see the headlines, and this is one of the problems now with going on the internet and just looking at health headlines, and you're going to see alcohol may be good for you, so be careful. Exactly. Your blood pressure reading may be wrong. That is an interesting report in the news. Talk about this, doctor.
Yeah, so, you know, taking your blood pressure is really important. You know, hypertension is associated with cardiovascular disease and so on there. But therefore, it starts really by getting a proper reading there. So, you know, it is important that, you know, you're sitting in the right position, that the cuff is the right size, in the right position, directly applied to your skin, not over, a sweater. And the height of the machine is really important as well. So making and sometimes in doctor's visits, you know, you're in and you're out. All those things may not be accounted for. So making sure that, you know, we get some good readings there is really important. And also the overall, you know, your stress level at the moment is really important as well there. So we want to get accurate readings.
Is this a reason to not pay too much attention to the blood pressure reading from that machine in the grocery store?
Probably. I mean, I think the grocery store is fine in terms of, hey, you've never been to the doctor, you want to get your check, that's probably a good place to start, but you do need follow-up after that.
And when the doctor is taking blood pressure, when you're doing this, do you tell patients, don't talk, keep your legs uncrossed, do you go through all that, don't drink, have you had any caffeine? Because all that affects the reading, doesn't it?
It does, and even if your bladder is full or not, does affect that as well. So, yes, all of those things do have an effect there. Being distracted, looking at your phone the whole time, and things like that do matter.
Yeah. And chances are your blood pressure reading will be a little better at the end of the visit in the doctor's office than when you first walk in, won't it?
It is, because you do want a few minutes to cool down, so to speak, just so that it lets the blood pressure kind of calm down there. You're in a seated position, the posture as you described, all those play a big role in trying to get a really good reading there.
Let's talk about breakfast, and there's a lot of controversy now. People are doing this intermittent fasting, but there's a new study from researchers, and this is really saying that having a good, healthy breakfast may lower your cardiovascular disease risk. Tell us about this study.
Yeah, so this study was looking at, as you described there, but it's also really important is what you eat and how much you eat as well. I think sometimes people are lost and they focus on what they're eating and then they don't focus on how much. So trying to make sure that about 20 to 30% of your daily calories are coming from breakfast. You don't want to go too heavy, therefore not having really like a very large breakfast. But having those foods that are higher in protein, fats, and fiber really seem to go a long way. And in this study, it really showed a decrease in cardiovascular risk there. And I think that was really an important takeaway.
Well, what did this new study say about people who make breakfast the biggest meal of the day?
Yeah, that probably excess calories at that time can actually increase your weight there and actually have a negative impact on your triglycerides and cholesterol and so on.
Dr. Hafiz, appreciate you taking your time to be with us this morning. Hope you and your family have a great holiday season. Thank you very much for all of your expertise here through the year.
Thank you. Same to you.